and welcome to another episode of Book Echoes, making great books and making creative lives that work. I'm author Connie B. Dowell. So we've had a busy weekend here at the Dowell household. It was my son's fourth birthday, and we had a little party, just a small one, just for family. And we decorated a cake, by which I mean my four-year-old did actually decorate some cake. Had presents and fun, and there are still a number of sprinkles around our house, but that is okay, because I'm of the opinion that sprinkles should be part of childhood, even if you end up stepping on them a couple of days after the party. So today on the podcast, I have an interview with children's author and author educator, Lori Wright. And it's great to talk to Lori. She tells us all about her path to publication with her first book and the inspiration behind that book, as well as subsequent children's books in that series, and how she came to help educate other authors and help other people learn how to take their ideas and turn them into books out into the world. So it's lovely to have a lovely chat with her, and it's great to talk to someone in the author education space, especially at this time when I'm entering that space myself with the forthcoming book, Writing Without Childcare, which is still very forthcoming, but soon it will be here. And also, I'm in the planning stages for my first online course to launch in 2020, an online course about author productivity. And if you are interested in hearing more about that course, hearing more great tips, because it's not going to be all sales all the time, or getting an advanced review copy of Writing Without Childcare, if you're not familiar with how that works, it's just you get a copy before everyone else gets it in the store, and you get it for free, and I hope that you will leave a review if you like it. So that's how that works. If you're interested in advanced review copies and all the stuff that's going on, if you are interested in just getting updates on the podcast delivered to your inbox, then this my new newsletter is a great way to do that. So I will have a sign up in the show notes for this episode at bookechoes.com, and just splash generally around at bookechoes.com. So you can get all of that and a free short ebook about doing hand selling your books at festivals or conventions. And that is going to be exclusive to the newsletter. That's the only way you can get this book. So I hope some of you check it out and enjoy. And I hope all of you listen on to Lori's story and the awesome free course that she has on her website that she's going to tell you about at the end of the interview. So here we go. Hi, and welcome to the Book Echoes podcast. Today on the podcast, we have author Lori Wright. Welcome, Lori.
Thanks, Connie. I'm happy to be here.
Well, happy to have you on. Would you like to share a little bit about yourself and your books?
You bet. I'm a mom of three, a wife of one. My first career was as a kindergarten teacher, and I did that for about 10 years. And I went back for 1 year after I had my first son, and it was really hard. He was quite sickly, and I had no sleep, I felt like, for a year. So we were lucky enough that I was able to take a leave of absence from work. And then I was a stay-at-home mom for about 8 years. So I guess technically I still am, because I'm at home, but I'm also working on the book business now. So when I was teaching, I was inspired by my students year after year who became more and more dependent on me when they arrived to handle very simple and, you know, in my opinion, issues. So we're talking about broken pencils and missing items and zippers and you know, shoes and things like that. So, you know, very doable. Kids are very capable, but if they haven't been given the opportunity to handle things themselves, then they don't even try. So in a nutshell, that was my motivation for my first book, I Can Handle It.
Which is a very, very good message. I can handle it. I can do it.
Yeah. A lot of adults actually write to me and they say, when are you writing the mom version? But that wouldn't go well.
Something that like, and yeah, I think that is a good message even for adults. I'm just reflecting on that. I was thinking, that's a book that my three-year-old needs to read and repeat now that he's getting able to physically do those things and mentally know that, yes, you can do that.
Yes, you can. Yeah. With my three-year-old, when my kids were three, there was a lot of deep breathing going on. You know? Yeah. Deep in it, have some deep breaths and then let's try. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about, that series, that Mind Mantras, and some of your other books and what the special messages that they offer to kids.
For sure. So the Mindful Mantras, the idea is there's one repeated phrase, so one mantra in each book. And by the end of the book, my hope is that children will assimilate that. It will become their self-talk. And, you know, in the world, negative self-talk really is the root of almost all mental self-suffering. And as adults, I think we can see that because we get in the same ruts, you know, as children, as teenagers. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm whatever. And so I really would like to plant these positive thoughts into children's brains when they are small and willing to read them and accept them. And they really do work. So I always say my kids are my test subjects. And so with my first book, I Can Handle It, you know, we read it quite a few times to my kids. And I noticed my five-year-old at the time saying to my two-year-old at the time, it's okay, Max, you can handle it. And, you know, I wasn't sitting there prompting her or say this now. So it really does work. Obviously, different kids, it will work to a different extent. But each book has a different idea. So I matter. And the intention with that is for kids to realize that they really are important and they really do matter, even if the words aren't said to them necessarily. I believe in myself. I'm proud of myself. I will be okay. And then my daughter, when she was about six, inspired me to do I Will Try, because there was a lot of the crossed arms, pouty, mm-hmm. You know, I'm not even going to try. I can't do it, you know, sitting down. And so she kind of inspired me to do that one. Just, it doesn't matter if you're successful or not, but you do need to try, right? That's what's important. So each of the books has that type of messaging. And then one night when my son was eight, we were sitting at the dinner table and his best friend was over and they started telling my daughter stories about unicorns. And so they started talking about how, you know, do unicorns eat rainbows? And my daughter was enthralled. She just was hanging on every word and they loved it. And so they kept talking. So I grabbed a notebook and I was like, keep talking, guys, keep talking. What happens next? And so that ended up being the beginning of a chapter book series. So I don't know about it. I don't know if you only have a three-year-old or if you have other kids.
I have a three-year-old and a two-year-old.
And a two-year-old. So they're not quite old enough to sort of play those really big pretend games yet. But what I found with my kids is they always were transforming. Mm-hmm. So they always wanted to, I'm this now. I'm a cheetah now. I'm a dragon now. Does yours do that yet?
Yeah. My three-year-old is starting to do that.
Yes. And it doesn't go away. They love to play that. Just all these magical transformations. So that inspired me for the Courage Chronicles series. So my daughter in the first one is the main character. She turns into a unicorn and of course has to save the world. And then in the second one, my son turns into a dragon. And so right now I'm working on the third and the fourth, and finding time to write is difficult, but so that's the premise of both my series.
It's great. This is great kind of messages for kids. So before we go on and talk about, because you're also an author educator, that you educate other authors. Before we talk about that, let's talk a little bit about your path as a writer. How did you get started writing?
You know, it's funny because some people are writers from the time they're six. And that was not me. I did university and avoided all the English classes. I consider myself more mathy and sciencey, but I had to write my first book because I saw a need and I was really passionate about helping kids in the world. And so I wrote it. And then of course I had no confidence about what I had written. And for 10 years, the story just sat in my computer. And then I pulled it out every couple of years and read it again and thought, well, okay, there's still some merit here. I still think this is good. The idea is good. The need is definitely still there. And about 3 years ago, I just, you know, I was kind of bored creatively and intellectually after being at home with the kids for about 8 years at that time. And I just dedicated myself to getting it done. So I didn't know what the outcome would be. I didn't know what would happen. I had help from, you know, friends to edit it. I didn't hire a professional editor. So I had friends help me. They gave me some ideas, great ideas that really helped make the book what it is. And I self-published it because I had no patience and couldn't wait for any kind of traditional publishing action to happen. And so that's how I got started. It was just really one of those sort of obsessions that I had to get the book out there. And then I didn't know what was going to happen. So that was just really step one, the ultimate goal. And yeah,
you have to be a little bit obsessed to publish a book.
You really do
to see a project like that through to fruition, and then to go on and publish many more books.
Yes, because there's so much that you have to learn that if you aren't that little bit of obsessed, I think it's really easy just to give it up.
Yeah. So while we're on that topic, maybe let's talk a little bit about some challenges you might have faced when you were first publishing that first book, and then maybe even a little bit later once you had a few under your belt.
My first challenge really that took years to overcome was, what do I do about an illustrator? And I think there's a lot of children's authors that are like me. I can't draw whatsoever. And so I didn't know what to do. And I think I saw it on some forum, the website Fiverr, and I was, you know, mind blown. What? There's people online that will offer their services and I can hire an illustrator on my own and I can do this. And so that was the turning point for me in the beginning. It was really just the illustrations and, you know, the whole publishing process, but it's all doable. There's lots of steps, but it's all doable if you just do your research and commit to learning about it, I think. Now it seems like my biggest obstacle is like finding time to write, which is funny because I put things into place in my life. Like my kids are at school or at the day home and my husband helps out more at home and I actually have an assistant as well. And I still can't seem to find the time to write. So
now finding the time is always a challenge. Once you get it nailed in one way, something else in your life changes and you have to.
Yeah, it's so true. Again. It's like fires, mini fires every day. And then your day is gone before you realize it.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the way that you help other authors. And definitely plug your own podcast. You podcast as well.
I do. So what happened was I published my first book. And I got a little more confidence. And I started sharing on Facebook and with friends. Hey, I published a book. Because I hadn't really ever until that point. And then it was incredible. Once I started telling people I published a book, they didn't care if it was selling or if it was doing well. They just wanted to know how to do it because so many people have ideas, so many parents. And of course I know a lot of teachers. So you get a lot of motivation and inspiration from students and your own kids. And so people were coming out of the woodwork. I was getting many messages, you know, can we go for coffee? Can I pick your brain? People, you know, I run into somebody at Winners. Oh, hey, how's your book coming? Can I ask you a couple questions? And, you know, I do have that teaching background. And so I just feel like once a teacher, always a teacher. And so it just seemed like a really natural progression for me. I started just doing sort of in-person live workshops in my town. But it was really obvious that people are busy, 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 and they don't want to leave their houses. So I started exploring how to do the same teaching but online, so I could reach people all over. And so now I have students, you know, in Guam, in the UK, like it's really cool. In Australia, like the internet is just so amazing, which sounds so silly and naive, but it really is. Because now I have friends all over the world and, you know, they can tune in at any time and from anywhere. And so my podcast, I started it with the intention of hitting those people that were just like me, you know, 5 to 10 years ago, hitting those people who are, you know, like my friends, Stopping Me in Winners, the people who want to write a book and maybe have journals filled with stories, but they don't know where to start. They don't know how to take that first step. So the idea is I'm trying to motivate those writers to take the first step by sharing stories of other writers that are just like them. So teachers, moms, I had a 9-year-old on, and then of course I had to interview her mom. But the idea is really just to motivate and inspire people by hearing other real life stories. And you know, real life people, these aren't super fantastic professionals or celebrities, you know, that have their celebrity fame behind them. It's just regular people like you and me that got their books out.
Excellent. Yeah, that inspiration is really important, especially in the beginning when you're kind of struggling to get started. I'm going to make sure I get the name right. It's The Writer's Way.
The Writer's Way.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So if people want to listen in, if they're as addicted to podcasts as I am, always looking for a new one.
That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you've got a course in particular that you're promoting that you'd like the listeners to know about.
Yeah, I try to tap into, you know, people's pain points and what stops them from publishing, from moving forward. And there was one time I was promoting a course and I offered time with me, and I would tell them if their book idea was good or not. And my time slots filled up like crazy very quickly. And I realized this is a thing. People are like me 5 years ago and they're not confident about their ideas. They want to know. So I have a free video course. It's very short. You know, you can watch it in an hour. And it walks you through how to go on Amazon and use the bestsellers rank to determine how comparable books are selling. So of course, it's not going to be 100% accurate, but if you find a book that is also a paper book, is also geared for kids, you know, 4 to 8 year olds like your book is, and it's also about a similar topic, let's say bullying, then you can go and you can find 5 to 10 comparable books. And then I share a tool that Dave Chesson made, the rank calculator, that gives you an idea of how many books a day those books are selling based on their ranking. So it's a really simple walkthrough. And it's free. I tried to make it fun. It's called Sucky or Stupendous, the book idea. Personally, I think every book idea has merit. I've heard so many fascinating, I didn't tell one person their idea was bad because they all had so much potential. So obviously it depends on your writing and your illustrations and how you get it out there, but every idea has potential, I think. So anyway, so all my courses are on creativewriter.com. So creative writer, the writer is spelled like my last name, W-R-I-G-H-T-E-R. But there's the free course on there. It's called Sucky or Stupendous. I would love people to take it and figure out, you know, about their book idea.
Excellent. Excellent. So that would be a great, great way if you're just starting or you're just now venturing into kids' books to kind of get a sense of the market.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Excellent. So, Lori, do you have any parting thoughts or advice for the audience?
I would say, you know, 80% of people want to write a book. So it's just go for it. It's such a fabulous journey. It's such a fabulous feeling to have that accomplishment of finally publishing your book. So if it is on your bucket list, if it is something you've always thought about, or, you know, if you sit at home and read Caillou books and think, I can do better. There's nothing stopping you. Go for it. Just go for it.
Excellent. Excellent. And your website is loriwriter.com. Anywhere else that we can find you and your books online?
Yeah. So creativewriter.com is where my courses are. And then I'm on social media as Lori Writer.
Okay.
Lori Write Author. Mm-hmm.
All right. Excellent. Well, thanks so much, Lori, for coming on and sharing with us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Connie. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks so much for listening to the Book Echoes podcast. You can find the podcast at bookechoes.com, on Apple Podcasts, or on Stitcher. And I would really appreciate it if you enjoyed the podcast to leave a review at one of those places or leave a comment on the show notes at bookechoes.com.